You were listening to, or so they say, the podcast where two sisters travel small town America, one ghostly tale at a time. I'm Kelsey.
I'm Megan.
And I know we talked a big game last episode.
We about made a big to-do.
You were going to see us and hear us, and it was going to be crazy new adventures in our new studio. That's not what's happening. We're still in the same room.
Because Mother Nature sucks.
Okay, first of all, Mother Nature does suck. Like, it was, we were going to move things. The weather was, like, perfect. And then suddenly, right around when we were going to move things, there was this, like, huge dip in temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And it said it was going to rain for, like, 5 days in a row, first of all. And then it backed off to four. And then in those 4 days, there was a notification, like, a severe, like, the National Weather Service sent out an announcement saying there was going to be, like, 75-mile-per-hour winds, baseball-sized hail, tornado flash warnings, flash floods, and we're like, okay, so
the
we,
second coming, we yeah. were.
So we're like, well, we should probably wait. So the night that we were going to do it, I was like, let's just for safety reasons, not a dang thing that night.
No.
I'm like, we could have. We really could have.
Yep.
And so the next day, I was like, well, now it's definitely going to be here today if it didn't show up yesterday. Like a drizzle.
Mm-mm.
I was like, okay, and we just kept putting it off because the weather service was so adamant on this is gonna be it's terrible coming. Which it did, but it missed it. Like, apparently it blew away really fast. Mm-hmm. And I heard, like, Evansville had some tornadoes, and
it was south of us.
Yeah, it went south fast. So kind of frustrating that we tried to be safe and smart, and now I just feel like we wasted time.
Well, and also, with that being said, because we try to do our first of the month somewhere we've actually visited, but traveling is hard to do. That's why we only do it once a month, if we even can do that. That also put a damper on our travel. We're like,
that was a big
reason why. Where do we?
Yeah, because that was also the same time frame we were going to travel. And that was really the big push that I was like, for safety reasons, maybe let's just hold off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kept waiting and waiting until, like, we're like, we need to.
The last second.
We're like, we really need to figure this out. But we kind of did. We still went somewhere.
We did. We traveled.
Travel is a word that you could use for what we did. Yeah.
Yes.
it was something.
Yeah, but hopefully, it looks like the weather's on the way up back. It's going to start climbing back up and getting warm again. I think we may actually move this time.
I, for like my mental health, need to. So yeah. I don't like, I just need a little control in my life. And I think this will be a good step.
And to have just a fresh new room, not been touched, just ready to go.
It's gonna look so nice. Like the recording studio set up, like, just, you know, yeah, like you said, fresh, out of the box, whatever. And then my house, fresh, little used,
out of the litter box.
Out of the litter box, run ragged a little bit, but still better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. So I think that's finally going to happen. So this will probably be the last episode in this room. I don't know. Maybe fingers we'll crossed. Stop saying that.
I know. Well, it's got to happen soon. So we'll say it for what's accountability's sake.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. So this week we did, or this, I guess, month, we did get to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how to approach what we did. We ultimately, we looked at about, 15 different locations in a matter of, like, hours.
Mm-hmm.
And finally settled on the Crawfordsville area.
Yes.
Which we have been to before, if you recall, way, way back.
We have a really good episode on it.
Honestly, that was a really fun one because that was the Rotary Jail that we went to in Crawfordsville, which we did pass. Crawfordsville is pretty small, so, of course, if you're on the main road at all, you're going to pass it.
Yeah.
And we did, and I was like, look at it.
We got some very strange EVPs there, which EVPs are always super fun for us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, that one, that's a good one. And we also have the video of the jail in motion, so.
That's true, yeah, the whole
the cells.
Jail being rotaried.
Rotated? You couldn't just say rotated.
No, I couldn't actually.
Yeah, so we were in Crawfordsville, ish area. And, well, okay. I guess we just need to start with what the original plan was. So we were going to travel somewhere, changed our mind because it was kind of a decent drive. And we're like, the weather is still iffy. We don't want to make that drive and then not be able to do it.
And then in good us fashion, by the time everybody got, you know, ready and finally was able to leave. Don't look at me. I'm not looking at some, not I either, said both of us who are young and beautiful. Yeah. Giving an ugly stare out of the room. She doesn't listen to this, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, it took forever to finally like get going. So by the time I picked Megan up and we were ready to head out, we're like, this is a 2-hour drive and we work tomorrow, and it was not looking good.
No. So instead, we started looking around at some places and we found a really weird sounding one out of Linden, Indiana, which saved us some time. It was like an hour and a half drive in total. And we're like, well, it's not 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, it was, I don't even know how to explain it. It felt better because like halfway to the hour long trip, I was like, I don't know if this is working. So we like pulled to the side of the road, tried to find something else. We did. And I was like, that's only 30 minutes away, which meant an hour and 30 minutes. But yeah, whatever. It felt better to me to see it on the GPS.
Yeah. So we found this place that sounded interesting. We're like, what a weird name. And so we go to Linden. Now, Linden is a tiny town. We did not get any demographics, actually, which is, it's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing something that says there's like 190 people or something like that.
Yeah.
It was small.
There's not a lot. They have a little railroad museum, which looks spoopy, but cute.
It's a unincorporated township, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So we put it in our GPS, we get there and we're sitting in front of like the fire department and we're like, well, this can't be right.
Yeah, I put in the coordinates and it's like, it took us to the middle of a neighborhood and we're like, okay. So then I was like, maybe if I keep driving down this road, it doesn't feel like a main road at all, but no. I'll try. We got back into like a dead end road that ended up being the police station. I was like, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
So we turned around, I tried again, and then it took us to the public library. I was like, this is not, which the public library was also like the post office, was also the grocery store. Yeah. Was also like it, this is a very small town. Yeah.
So we were like, I had this idea. I said, you know what, who's gonna know better than where to find these things than the locals? So I'm like, let's sit down, have a bite to eat, because, you know, can't be a good trip without trying the local fare.
Mm-hmm. And which, honestly, I don't know about
pleasantly
yours.
Mine
surprised. Was so good.
Pleasantly surprised.
I am a slut for some mushroom and Swiss burgers. That's like my go-to wherever I go. I'm almost a connoisseur, I think. So I saw that and I was like, well, that's what I'm getting, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds, I'm over here like reminiscing about the food. I'm a little hungry as we speak.
God.
You're also hungry, clearly.
What?
You said I spit.
I did a spit take just
I
now.
I heard it. Anyway. I sound like such a fat kid right now. I'm like, the mushrooms were cooked in a
No,
it was like, because sometimes you just get like, you can tell those mushrooms came right out of the Jolly Green Giant can, and it's just like, okay, that's cool. These were like brown gravy mushrooms and sauteed like caramelized onion. Bruh. Listen, it was an hour and a half, but I'm like, if I'm ever bored again, honestly, because what was the other cool thing about this place? Surprised and delighted.
Yeah, okay. With this being a small town, we were a little hesitant. We were a little nervous. We saw a lot of yee-yee trucks. We're
mostly like, nope. I'm nervous. Megan could probably get by before I could, but
my green hair is a red flag, honestly. The green is a red.
And I guess.
So we saw, our options were like a pizza place or the bar and grill. We're like, bar and grill?
Which made me so nervous because I'm like, little small town bar and grills are, you walk in and everyone turns and stares like you're not from around here, which that did happen.
It did happen. And we walked in and I immediately noticed the 80s theme. Mm-hmm. And it was like 80s memorabilia, movie posters.
Mostly horror.
Yeah, a lot of horror stuff. There was Nightmare on Elm Street. I saw Gremlins, Ghostbusters.
Just I don't
know. Beetlejuice was in there.
Uh-huh. And not even all horror. There was a Labyrinth set up in there.
Mm, Coraline.
Oh, yeah, that one. I mean, go watch Coraline if you haven't
yet. I know. I haven't watched it. Yeah, I haven't. Anyway.
It fits the bill.
The bartender was a tall, lanky dude with tattoos who was very loud and
apparently drunk.
Maybe intoxicated.
Yeah. don't fire in case, him.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, all the people in the bar, I said, okay, I'm feeling better as time goes on. And
I just remembered he literally yelled, like, they were talking very loud. Everybody was talking very loud. And he said something about, like, you're never going to go into a kitchen where people aren't all high. Like, the food's right? not good. He's unless like,
if
the
your cook's not stoned, your food's not good.
And I said, honestly, can confirm after working in a kitchen, they'll step out. They're like, I'm going to go smoke for a second. They went and wink wink smoked. Then man, we just breezed through dinner rush. Mm-hmm. And they're so chill about it. They're like, okay, here you go.
No one's stressing.
No, I mean, we're still stressing, but they're just like, whatever, man, here you go.
Yeah, so the bar ended up actually being a good, nice, safe space for us, and we're like, thank goodness, because mm-hmm. these small Midwest towns, man, they get hairy.
Yeah.
And we order our food, we eat, we ask the bartender, we're like, hey, weird question, have you heard of this? And he goes,
he went, California? And I said, no. Linden. He went, California? I said, not like right here where we're sitting.
Yes, here, it's like around the corner. He said, I've grown up here and have literally never heard of that. And yeah. So he turned around and yelled at the people at the bar. He goes, have you guys heard of this? And everyone went, what?
Yeah, I think now is time confused. To drop the name of where we were going.
Yeah.
Because it was funny. What we found was in Linden, Indiana, a place called Slab Town. S-L-A-B. Like a slab of concrete or something town.
Yeah, because they're like Slab Town.
Yeah, and we're like Slab Town. And he turned around, he's like, guys, did you know we're Slab Town? I said, you're not Slab Town. Where is it? And they're all like, I've never heard of. Everybody's just, you can tell these are all regulars.
Uh-huh.
He's just like, we're Slab Town, guys. And everyone starts laughing. And we're like, stop. This is like my worst nightmare.
Right. And we said, look, can you just tell us where like a haunted place is? And he told us one. And we're like, here's the problem. We need to be there like now. Right now. And we can't drive that far. Which the place he told us actually looks very interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely on our list now.
And the problem is because it was so just last minute, we're like, no, we need to commit time to this. So, mm-hmm. No, we did not cover that. No, we did not investigate a slab town because no one knew what it was.
Yeah. When I explained to them, I was like, this is what it says. And they all looked at each other like, I've never heard of that. Mm-hmm. I said, well, tell that to the internet because it's right here.
Yeah. Who's the dumb put that online?
Yeah.
Can't believe we read something on the internet and believed it.
Gosh.
And then the next thing I said, look, we can't come here empty handed. This is silly because if we don't do this, then we have nothing. Like, we're not going to be able to give you guys an investigation this time around. I said, look, I just found this thing that's in Crawfordsville. Let's do a drive by, see how populated it is. And it did say it was an apartment complex. I'm like, yeah, but what kind? Mm-hmm. The senior living kind.
Yeah. Crap. All the lights are on. The parking is full.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is a fully in use apartment complex.
Yes. So the sad news is we personally did not investigate a darn thing.
No. Usually I like a good plot twist, but we're not gonna sugarcoat it for you.
No. I'm like, is the bar haunted? Anything, something, give me something. He's like, not in Linden, nothing in Linden,
he's
Indiana.
Like, I lived here for however long, 27, yeah. He's like younger than us. And I'm like, you look old. Everybody
like, I've lived here since
us.
The 90s. And we're like, okay.
Okay.
He's like, there's nothing spooky here. And he said, oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Yep.
So with that being said, someone on the internet believes there's something called Slab Town in Linden, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some interesting information on it.
That, I mean, if you, for some reason, if you're the person that wrote this information about Slab Town, go ahead and get a hold of us.
At us, please.
or so they say pod at gmail.com and tell us where you got this information, because when I tell you I dug and dug and I could not find it.
Yeah,
I'm still gonna read it because like they couldn't have just pulled this out of their, they could have, it's the internet. I don't know why I'm saying they couldn't have pulled it out of their butt.
Creepypasta. Oh
man, if it's a creepypasta, I'm gonna feel like an idiot.
Well, I don't know, man. Okay, so I think what we're going to do, because we did not get to investigate anything, we are going to cover the lore behind these two places, mm-hmm. behind Slab Town and behind what now is the apartment complex, used to be a hospital.
The way I'm justifying this is not a cop-out. I said I was okay with doing the episode this way because the whole foundation of this is the local lore and legends,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes those things just get lost to time, and this is one of those scenarios where it's like everybody tells you it's haunted, but it's like it's not there and nobody seems to know where it is or how it originated or like where the information came from, but everybody knows it's haunted, mm-hmm. so it's still a local legend to somebody.
Yeah, and we're not here to say that every place is haunted. Also, we can turn around and go investigate places, and we have, and we've told you
said plenty of times that places are duds.
Yeah, there's nothing
more than I'd like.
I mean, and not even like, okay, maybe it wasn't an active night, because you're not going to get stuff all the time, that'd be crazy, but I mean, some places we felt like we could straight up just lay down and take a nap.
Billy Creek Village.
Yeah, there you're
not a dang thing.
No, you're not going to catch me uncomfy.
Mm-mm.
In some of these places. So no. Yeah, I mean, we'll cover it. We'll see what people say. And if you are in the central to northern Indiana area and have visited Crawfordsville, Linden, heard of these things, know of these things, please say something because,
Yeah, please help us out.
But, Kelsey, would you like to kick us off with Slab Town?
Yeah, I'll give you the little bit that we have because, again, like I said, I was really trying to find... give me some microfiche. I don't know. Like, I'll look at the most obscure places at this point because it was very hard to find the validity of this story, but
mm-hmm.
that's why it's a legend, isn't it?
Mm, yep.
So, this is the legend of Slab Town in Linden, in Montgomery County, in Indiana. So this information is actually coming from like a super reputable, like classic source, Angel Fire.
Yes. Yeah,
with all the good, I can't say Flash artwork because Adobe isn't, I know, rest in peace.
Gosh darn it.
With a little ghosts in the fire. Anyway, but actually the reason the way that I heard of Slab Town to begin with was not because of Angel Fire. It's actually because of a tool that we used on our last like true investigation at mm-hmm. the Stark Saloon, called Spirit Talker. Like, we've tried different apps for like a spirit box session, but too poor to do the real spirit box. So this Spirit Talker app was interesting.
Don't know if I'd use again.
Yeah, half and half on it. I'll give it some time. I'll try it. So I'll try it some more and see how I feel. Mm-hmm. But a really cool feature, the reason why I'm keeping it is, one, I paid for it, and two, it has a really cool feature on it that it says haunted locations and it's got a little map, you know, icon. I said, what is that? And sure enough, anybody that uses this app can tag locations on, it's like a Google map, and it'll show little bubbles of here's where people say there are haunted locations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cool to just like zoom around and see, oh, people think this is in Terre Haute, this is in Indianapolis, this is in Brazil. Admittedly, probably because the app isn't the most popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of places that we've been that are not on this map. But there are
to say we can't add them.
True. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of places that we hadn't heard of, Slab Town included.
Yeah.
So that's when we were panicking. I was like, just give me the map. And I started scrolling around and I found Slab Town. Yeah,
because it put me in Missouri somewhere. Missouri. I'm like, why did it drop me in Missouri?
I don't know. But anyway, so that is actually where I found Slab Town because I poked on it and I was like, I was like, man, I really hope we find this thing.
Yeah.
Alas, we did not. Everybody in that, I say everybody, a quarter of the town, meaning the 10 people in that bar, had never heard of it. So anyway, without further ado, The story of Slabtown is in the early 1900s, there once stood a two-room asylum for the insane. Makes sense with the, you know, the amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
Students would volunteer their time at the home helping out. Cool. It is said that one early morning, the students came out to the home, and it's a little graphic, they were beat, and they were raped by the residents in their home.
I know this is all we have. I know it's all we have. But I'm like, they just, so the patients just kind of snapped one day when the students went to go help them. I mean,
they said it's in a quote-unquote insane asylum.
Yes, yeah.
Haven't you seen House on Haunted Hill?
Yes.
Yeah, with the pencils. God, that movie was so hard to watch when I was younger. And then, like I said, I watched it with Maddie and I was like, this was just so much scarier. The intro's the scariest thing. Kind of like American Horror Story. It's like, they didn't have to do that with the intro.
I may have to watch it again.
Yeah, it's the part mm-hmm. that, like, we covered our eyes and could not watch. It's not.
Really?
It's actually really well lit, first of all. I'm like, why are there so many lights?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, there's a part in that movie that gave me nightmares. Like, hearing the noise would make my skin crawl because this monster thing makes a noise before it attacks.
Uh-huh.
And you hear that noise, and I, like, as a child, could not handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, yeah, I was ready to, like, cover my eyes as an adult watching this with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened. I was like, I just want you to know that was scarier. Like, 20 years ago, that was really scary.
Well, I think it's time for another remake, because the OG's from, like, what, the 50s or something?
Something like that, yeah.
40s or 50s.
Anyhoot. So, yes, they were beat. They were assaulted by the residents in the home. In the end of this, I don't know why they said that, they set fire, I'm assuming the residents, set fire to all the cars at the house, and they set fire to themselves and the students, killing everyone.
Oh, boy.
To this day, the building does not stand, but the foundation of the house and the old smashed, burnt cars are there. Mm. It is also said that if you visit the old land, that you will never forget your experience there and gradually lose your well-thinking over a period of time. I don't know why it's written like this. People have said that they would be driving down the road by the place and see a fire, but when they got closer, the fire would vanish.
You would think if this had happened, the locals would have some idea of this.
Yes, so that's when they're like, Slab Town, blah, blah, blah. And I said, is there a pile of rubble and burnt cars in this town? And they went, no. I said, nothing. There's not, like, a bad bonfire somewhere? And they all looked so confused. I said, okay, well, the internet lied to me.
Right.
I had to announce it. I feel duped. Lied to, yes.
Right,
duped.
Now.
Hurt, mostly.
Uh-huh.
Blindsided, I don't know. Just lots of pain. And embarrassment. I just can't show my face there again.
It sounds spooky.
The story sets you up for, like, something creepy.
Yeah.
But saying it really does give, like, intro of House on Haunted Hill vibes, where it's showing, like, just day-to-day stuff and the patients snap, kill everybody. Like, that's spoiler. It's not a spoiler because it's the first thing you see in the movie, so get over it.
Yeah.
But anyway, they just, like, freak out and kill everybody, and it just gave that vibe, you know? So I was like, that I was, even if I was just gonna see a pile of rubble, I was gonna be like, and right. get scared.
Spooky.
Could we have driven around the town and, like, creeped through to try to find a pile of rubble and burnt cars? Yes.
And probably get the cops.
I was gonna say, would
us?
The cops get called on us? Probably.
Yeah, because we're in a black vehicle, tinted windows.
Just when I made it down to the dead end where the police station was, there were people outside of two houses. And when I tell you they all turned to look at us, turn around to the police station, I was like, we got to get out of here. I'm scared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I actually did not see the people. So
I was so aware. That's why I was like, guys, we got to go. I'm scared. And I was
gonna
start.
Why you were, like, freaking out? So
I was gonna start kicking tires, kicking rocks. I was like, we gotta get.
That reminds me of National Lampoon's Family Vacation, where he's like, "Eat my rubber."
Oh yeah. I can't remember it exactly.
I'm gonna burn dust, eat my rubber, or something. He's like, Dad. It's so the National Lampoon movies, I swear.
Yeah, I don't know. Chevy Chase is like questionable.
It's a, aren't they all? Yeah, it's one of those where it's like you grew up with it and you, it's like people who were fans of Bill Cosby. I bet they're really torn today.
They're like, gosh, I got judged for my tattoo today. Not judged, but they're like, I went to a doctor's appointment today. And the nurse was very chill and was taking my blood pressure. And it's on the side that I have the tattoo. And she looked at it and she's like, Harry Potter, huh? I said, yep. And she's like, I said something about, yeah, it was like 10 years ago. We all make choices. And she went, I'm just surprised you didn't have it covered up. I said, I don't know, which is fine. Like, we were on the same page.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, I get that. But also, one, money. I'm not, like, you can't just afford cover-ups like that on all willy-nilly. I can't anyway. And two, I was like, I'm not saying in this case you should separate the artist from the art, but, like, there's lines, you know?
Yes.
At what point do you... not.
I've said that. I use that argument that you can, in some instances, separate the art from the artist. I use R. Kelly as an example. Everyone knows that what he did was disgusting and awful. But when you hear I Believe I Can Fly and Space Jam, it's like,
okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into a deep conversation with her because I just simply was there for a checkup.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to quickly explain, like, the essence of, it's a Harry Potter tattoo, the essence of Harry Potter and like what it means to people and what it meant to people, like regardless of, like, it, things are canon that aren't in the book and like people take things and run with them and there was like a safety to it and a whimsy about it. I'm like, that's what people like, not her,
right?
So I don't know.
Well, and I saw that the actor who plays Professor Sprout came out and she was like, honestly, they just need to grow up and leave it alone.
She's like, I've seen adults having Harry Potter themed weddings, like, you all need to grow up. And someone stitched it and they're like taking out the trash and they pick up their little Professor Sprout Lego piece and they throw it in the trash.
Well, and then the actor who plays Lavender Brown tried to like come to her defense a little bit. Well, not
like
full-blown defense, but she's like, well, maybe she was being sarcastic.
No, you could tell she was dead serious. She's basically like, if you grew up with Harry Potter and you are now grown up, you need to get over Harry Potter. I'm like, let people have things that bring them joy. My God,
there's only so much in this world.
There's not much left. Let them have it. Yeah. Jesus.
God bless. Speaking of things that make me happy, spooky.
Yeah, ghosts.
The other place we drove by and did not stop at. So it is a apartment complex today, from what I understand, senior living facility. It's now called the Whitlock Place.
Okay.
I think. Historic.
How do you not know how to spell place? You're no, like, that big word.
I think that's just it. It's the Historic Whitlock Place. Is what it's called.
Okay.
The apartments, very pretty, by the way.
Honestly, Crawfordsville as a whole is like a nice little...
Now...
Well, not all of it, but...
The apartment complex has an income cap that you can only make so much. If you make more than that, like, it's income-based.
Is it like uncomfortably low?
Yes.
Like, if you make more than basically minimum wage, you can't live there?
Yes. It says for one person, you can't make more, I think it said, than $24,000 annually.
That's minimum wage. Not quite.
For two people, you can't make more than $27,000 annually.
Cool.
And I said, huh? Like,
that's, I've heard things like that before. Like, one of my coworkers was looking for a new place to live, and I think, or maybe, I don't know if I'm just living vicariously through fake people now, but I'm pretty sure it was one of my coworkers looking for a place to live, and there was a cap, and that she was like, yeah, if you make over X amount, and I did the math, I'm like, that is $8 an hour. She was like, yeah. I said, okay, well, that's, they want you to be impoverished.
Yeah, that's...
That just makes no sense to me. Outrageous. It makes no sense.
Outrageous. All right, well, before the Historic Whitlock Place, this was once called the Culver Union Hospital.
Spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Like a good hospital.
So I used two different sources. Well, three, I guess, whatever. Oh my God. Three different sources. I swiped away from it. This one is just iupui.edu. So, wow, cool. It says, in the second half of the 19th century, an organization of women in Montgomery County displayed a strong focus on bettering their community and helping those in need, mirroring a national trend. That's an awful word.
Yeah. What year was that? Mirroring.
19th century.
Sorry, I said, what year? Mirroring.
Yeah, the 19th century, so 1800 something.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Ahead of their time, I see.
Yep. With virtuous intentions, the Women's Union in Crawfordsville, Indiana, began raising funds for a new hospital in 1897, so the late 1800s. And with help from other women, doctors, and local citizens, the L.L. Culver Union Hospital was opened in 1902.
Yay. Wow.
Upon its opening, every doctor in Montgomery County was on the staff of the hospital. The hospital quickly outgrew its space, but expansion was delayed because of World War One.
I immediately went, COVID?
No,
God. World War One. I don't know why my brain did that.
Mm-hmm. With a continued need for, it says World War One. It has to be World War Two. There.
Well, no, because if it opened in 1902, World War One is 1914.
Okay.
Ish, right? Yeah, it's in that area.
World War II is the 40s, World War I, right?
God, that's what I meant. One, yeah, World yes. War II was 40s and 50s. Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
Jeez,
I'm not good with history, so I got scared. Anyway, with the continued need for more space and more modern facility, the L.L. Culver Union Hospital was transferred over to the county in 1929, so 27 years later. A new facility was added to the L.L. Culver. They say this so many times. The hospital became the Montgomery County Culver Union Hospital, considered to be completely updated and modern.
Wow.
In 1966, further additions were made to the hospital, and upgrading continued in 1971 and 77.
Wow.
By the early 1980s, new technology and medical procedures generated the need for an entirely new facility. Just
ain't that just the way?
The age of medicine and just science at that time. I bet like every time they finally fixed something and got it working for whatever was available for the time.
Now they're like new and improved.
Surprised.
New piece of equipment.
Yeah. So
then I will just always remind everybody at this point, we still didn't have fingerprint.
No.
Fingerprint analysis.
DNA. Yeah.
Fingerprint and DNA analysis. Yeah.
So the early 80s, they needed a new facility. So 20 more years later, as a result, Culver Union Hospital was sold to a for-profit hospital corporation and a new hospital replaced it, which opened in 1984. By 88, Culver Union Hospital ceased operation because of lack of funding and was completely vacated by 1997. It was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 2001, and the building now plays host to historic Whitlock Place apartments. Yay.
I just looked it up real quick because I swore it was like in the 90s. It says that DNA and fingerprinting was first introduced as evidence in the United States criminal court systems in 1986.
Oh, I've
really... In a little more than a decade, DNA technology became an increasingly powerful forensic tool, blah, 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 me. Yeah, so, I mean, for identifying or eliminating suspects when biological evidence such as... So, think, like, it's just like, oh, fingerprint and DNA, but that's evidence such as saliva, skin, blood, hair, semen, none of which was tangible until the 80s, the late 80s.
Yep.
Wild.
Crazy stuff. All right, so now we're in the Whitlock Place. We're in... I grabbed this article from flco.com, which is just Flaherty and Collins Properties, I think is how you pronounce it. Terrible name. Sorry.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so this article was written in 2016, November 18th, 2016 to be exact, because it says that Flaherty and Collins Property held the grand opening ceremony today, November 18th. 2016, of Historic Whitlock Place. Historic Whitlock Place is an adaptive reuse development that creates 56 apartment homes in this historic Culver Union Hospital in downtown Crawfordsville.
Wow.
We are excited to open Historic Whitlock Place, said Julie Collier, vice president of development with Flaherty and Collins Properties. I hate your name. This is truly remarkable, transformative project for Crawfordsville and the greater neighborhood and community. It consists of studios, 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. Nearly every unit is an individual, unique design. It's actually very pretty. If you look, there's like a fountain that you would think would be outside in a courtyard is just like in a lobby.
Okay.
So
cute.
Pretty cool.
Which is interesting. Like it was kind of dark when we drove past it and it was a very narrow street. So I was focusing on driving. Yeah. So I didn't get a good look at it, but I don't know, it seemed nice enough.
I grabbed some pictures. Historic detailing within the building were retained through construction, such as bullnose plaster corners, terrazzo floors, unique wood frame windows, and painted stencil detailing in the hallway. So yeah, it's like really pretty in there.
Sounds nice.
They have their atrium, a community room with a TV, computers, internet access, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever. It was extremely important to keep the historical aspect of the building and enhance the exterior and interior look and feel of the building, said Collier. We're thrilled with the results of Culver's transformation.
Wow.
Yay. Wow. Well, why is it haunted? Why? Like, we hear this. It's like, okay, it was a hospital. It just kept transforming until eventually they're like, screw it. We can't keep up. So they had to close.
I mean, is it probably haunted in the way that everyone's like, cemeteries are probably always haunted. There's spirits there. There's dead bodies there. Well people died in hospitals.
Yeah, it went through World War I and World War II. Who knows? I mean, I don't know how much war was happening in Crawfordsville, Indiana, but who they were housing there.
I feel like Crawfordsville is another one of those cities, like nondescript cities, that has a weird amount of history when it comes to this stuff, but I don't remember exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, this, I don't know what website I pulled this information from, but TBH, this is one person, one individual stating they believe it's haunted. Their facts are incorrect based off of what we just read.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said the Culver Union Hospital in Crawfordsville, Indiana, happens to be very haunted, in my opinion. It was built in 1902 and was closed down in the 80s. That's wrong. We already know it closed in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And there were some people who commented in the thread and they're like, so I was born in 92 there.
It was still there.
Unless I'm mistaken, that's where I was born.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that would be true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they go on to say, I had one awesome experience. I was with 6 people, including myself, 3 guys and 3 girls. Wow.
Okay.
Well, we have to climb through a window and we were walking through when all of a sudden we heard a metal pipe fall. Then following a little girl screaming.
Yuck. I don't like that.
Nope. At the time, the 3 girls and 3 guys were separated. When we heard the scream, we ran back to the guys and they heard the same scream, but they thought it was one of us. And at first we thought it was them, but we came to terms that it was none of us. And we got out of the hospital all scared. Now the hospital is all boarded up and no one can get in and the spirits can't get out.
Dum, dum, dum. Did you catch the wrong building? I wonder.
Me?
No, them.
Oh, I was like,
them. Because did it get boarded up? That sounds a little extreme.
If you look at pictures of it right before it got bought, it looks a little
in disarray.
Spooky. Yeah. It's not terrible, but it's not great. Okay. So some of these comments, I mean, are as early as 2017. I say early as, but, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you. As recent as.
I always try to think, I'm like, what's the better way to say that? And yeah.
And then it goes back to 2013. So this person commented and said, I lived across from the old hospital for 2 years. My youngest son, then 3 years old, woke up one morning and said he has an angel named Andrew. This is, okay. You know, when Jordan starts doing this stuff, I don't know.
I know. That's what I need to know.
I asked him how he looked like the angel. And he said he wore a white suit. I brushed it off as an invisible friend type thing. At that time, I heard rumors of the hospital being haunted, but paid no concern. My friend and I used to sit out on my front porch, and we would hear many different sounds, mostly like metal dropping and clanking.
So like the person said, yeah.
Yeah. We talked it, they said we talked it off, so I, like we brushed it off as an old building. Recently hearing all this about it being haunted, I'm thinking it was probably an orderly that had worked there.
Yeah.
Their spelling's not great, so I'm
reading. Oh, no.
So they believed maybe their kids saw an orderly since they're in a white suit. I mean,
yeah, again, it's giving, you know, House mm-hmm. on Haunted Hill.
Or someone hospital related. My son is now 26 and still insists that he saw that man. For what it's worth, my house has always creeped me out.
Oh, well.
Person. Another person commented and said, about 2 years ago, now this was written October of 2013, so 2011, I was visiting my grandma who had just moved there, Crawfordsville, I assume.
Yes, yeah.
Because the hospital's closed and it has not yet opened back up. And my grandma who had just moved there, so of course I had to drive around and look at the town. I came across this building and had no idea what it was, but something drew me toward it. I took a ton of pictures. I came back home and still thought about that place, so I started looking at the pictures I took. Almost half of the pictures didn't even develop right.
Yucky.
Mm-hmm. Very creepy. Someone else said, these are weird. I mean, again, these are just anonymous people's comments.
Yeah.
The grammar and spelling is so poor on all of these. I don't understand why. Again, in 2013, I was going to probation and was sitting in the car and seen a guy lying in a bed and looking at me. And he turned to the door as if someone had come in to take care of him. Then he acted as if he were watching TV. I don't know.
Interesting. But I mean, maybe they're saying that and the building was supposed to be vacant.
Yeah, it's
gotta be.
Mm-hmm. And then a last person said, I would agree about the old hospital. I have been there and I heard footsteps. Plus, I took some pictures and a couple of them had a white mist then went past me. I took another picture and it was gone. Plus, I know people that have pictures and you can see faces in them.
Yuck.
So, now this person's, I'm going to try to, I don't know if you want to read it or... Because I know you didn't get a lot with Slab Town.
No, it's okay. I can try. Let me get it. Let me see. Let me pull it up.
Okay, so it's after all the comments with the stars and stuff, right? So this last one is coming from a journal review called On the Search for Spirits.
Okay.
It's just like one dude's writing of this. I guess what he experienced mm-hmm. is my understanding. Again, this isn't like... It's a little bit of a cold read, guys. Obviously, for Kelsey, it's going to be because...
Just keeping it exciting over here.
Yes, we're going to, you know, spice it up here and let Kelsey finish us out. God, why?
On the search for spirits. On Wednesday, I just thought of... Sorry. Jesus. I didn't make it very far.
Never mind, I'll read it.
Oh, God forbid. Just kidding.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I just was thinking about... I was being very aware of my mouth noises, which I think are minimal today. I feel like nasally, but that's just always. Stop. Anyway, on my way home today, I had like an adventurous day. I was like, I deserve a little treat. So uh-huh. I found a Baskin-Robbins in a really sketchy neighborhood. Like, there were so... I think there had to have been, like, 12 cameras in the lobby of the Baskin-Robbins. It was really scary.
Wow. Okay.
But I got a milkshake, and I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, is she coming back for one last scare? I'm like...
God dang it, Kelsey. Now, look. Your mouth's going to get all cottony and dry, and you're going to make gross noises.
I hope not.
Go on. On Wednesday.
On Wednesday, a group of investigators from the Lafayette-based Wabash Paranormal Research Society came to the hospital to see if they could coax any otherworldly beings out of hiding.
Ooh, and I don't remember when this was written. I apologize.
Mm-hmm. Quote, you really have to learn how to do an investigation, one of the founder and lead investigator of the group, James Holsklaw, said. It's all about learning how to ask the right questions in order to get a response.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So the group became interested in Culver Union after hearing stories of possible paranormal activity there. We heard a lot of stories, he said. One we had heard a lot about was a woman who jumped to her death from the last window of the third floor, which was the psych ward. Go figure. We've also heard of people seeing shadowy figures, a woman in a white dress, and people in the windows. Supposedly two other people committed or they died by suicide by jumping off of the roof as well.
Yikes.
Pardon me, I have to swallow.
Oh, see now, see what you gone did and done.
I have a hard time swallowing. We've talked about this. It just sometimes it's like, no, I'm all right.
I sent Maybe you that time. Picture of that chihuahua. It's like me when I'm just choking on my own saliva.
I've done that like three times this week. I'm having a hard time. Okay, I'm just trying desperately to swallow. The Culver Union investigation was largely facilitated by WPRS, which is that paranormal group, member Daryl Newkirk, who lives in Crawfordsville, and was able to make contact with the property management company charged with the hospital's upkeep. Group members spent much of the day before the investigation talking to handymen who work at the building and interviewing neighbors.
Okay.
They just, more audacity than me. Would you go door to door and be like, you want to tell me about this hospital?
This haunted?
Yeah. What's it got? This got games?
Oh my.
Oh my gosh. One of the tools in the group that the group uses is.
One of the tools in the group. This tool, Kelsey.
I didn't even think about it. One of the tools the group uses is. An ovilus.
All right.
An electronic speech synthesis device that utters words depending on environmental readings, including electromagnetic waves. I'm very nasally. I can't do this anymore.
Okay.
No, I think it's just my voice. Like, what a bad profession to pick if you don't like your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As WPRS members gathered outside Culver Union on Wednesday, the ovilus Holsklaw held immediately began generating words. The first were attic and suicide.
All right.
On the nose. I've never heard this thing go off outside of a building, Holsklaw said. It doesn't usually start until after we're inside.
Okay.
As the group did its first walkthrough, members tromped through three floors of standing water and debris. That sounds horrid.
Yuck.
Every now and then the ovilus would generate a word, at one point uttering a group member's name with startling clarity.
Oh,
which okay. We have had before.
Mm-hmm.
And members would stop to ask if anyone was present and if they wished to speak. The group stayed at the hospital until 4 a.m., taking copious audio and video recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the days.
And I'm then you old. Have to go back and listen to all of that.
Just think about that next time. Many of the recordings contain electromagnetic voice phenomena, Holsklaw said. EVPs are electronically generated noises that resemble speech, but are actually derived from sources such as static, stray radio transmissions, and background noise. Listen, this guy's got it like down to an art. Just right. This wow. is our description from here on out.
Okay.
So EVPs are enhanced by increasing the sensitivity of recording equipment. Although there are often scientific explanations for EVPs, paranormal investigators often feel they are of paranormal origin.
Yeah.
Because, like, some of it is, yeah, some of it can be, what's the word, circumstantial.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, sometimes it's just too on the nose.
Right.
Many of the recordings contain voice phenomena. What? I just read all of that. I hate it. Most EVPs are brief, usually only consisting of a short phrase or one word.
Yep.
We got a couple of really clear EVPs of a little girl saying up, like she wanted to be picked up.
Aww.
Yeah. We got both of those on the stairs between the first and second floor. Holsklaw said one, which I'm like, if it is a little girl and they're on the stairs, what if she's like little and she's like, I need help up the stairs. Like, pick me up.
Right. I think of Jordan when she puts her little hand out like.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just blindly trusting that you will grab her little hand. Yes. Holsklaw said some of the EVPs from the third floor of the hospital contained screams.
Mm.
And that one of the investigators claimed to have been grabbed by the back of their shirt. Holsklaw said his group does about 50 investigations a year, mostly in private homes and cemeteries. The group recently did an investigation at the Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Louisville, Kentucky.
All right.
A classic. We got a lot of cool action there, Holsklaw said. Doors slamming in our faces. Stuff like that.
At Waverly?
That's what he said.
Goodness.
So, WPRS member Trey Fisher is well aware that many people are skeptics when it comes to paranormal activity. I'm a skeptic too, he said. Full stop. Just kidding.
Oh, no.
We all are. When we go on these investigations, we're trying to debunk stories as much as we're trying to prove them. So, same
vibe.
I like these guys. Fisher believes he has been touched by paranormal beings. In fact, he said he felt something touch his back at Culver Union. And when he pulled up his shirt, a very noticeable red mark had appeared where he said he felt that touch.
Hmm.
I've been touched multiple times, he said. When you're touched, you either let it scare you so you don't want anything to do with it, or it makes you want to learn more. I wanted to learn more.
All right.
So there we go. To the point. Fisher's paranormal sensitivity, he believes, goes back to his childhood. I would see and hear all of these things, but I didn't know what any of it was, he said. The first major thing that happened to me was when I was in my house when I was a kid, and a gust of cold wind came down the stairs toward me. It blew pictures off the wall. Then I knew there was just nothing else that could have explained it. Which, like, maybe I'm missing the point of that story.
I don't know. There's got to be more to it, more detail. You know, he's just giving a quick synopsis.
Yeah, I was in my house when I was a kid, a gust of cold wind. I don't know.
Like, the it air came down the stairs at him or something.
The air
like,
conditioning?
I don't know.
I know. It's, I mean, he's just giving a brief explanation. So, like, you've been so articulate until this point, and now I'm confused. Fisher was excited about the Culver Union investigation because it was the first one ever done at the hospital. Who doesn't want to be the first? He said, it's such an energy rush. Which, true.
And legal investigation.
Yeah. You know I mean? Yeah. Angie Sliger, the lone female member of WPRS, was at the Culver Union investigation as well. I love it, she said. I don't scare easily, but I do get anxious. I feel safe with all of these guys around. Grow up.
I know. Part of me is like, did we have to say the only female and whatever?
I don't know.
Again, this article has to at least be a decade old.
Maybe.
It's my guess.
So Sliger said she has seen some paranormal activity, but has never heard voices or been forcefully touched. I'm hoping, she said.
Huh?
Holmesclaw said he and the investigators felt there was enough paranormal activity at Union Culver to warrant a follow-up investigation. Can I pinpoint exactly what's going on there? Absolutely not, he said.
Okay.
But we're going back in a couple of weeks to see what else we can find. The end.
And then we'll just never know. There's probably another journal entry that I didn't find, but I feel like that was a good amount of information.
That was a good bit, and they explained a lot of things that we've talked about plenty of times, but like way more articulate. Then we'd explain it.
Yeah, so I didn't get a ton of background as to, like, why people, where the hauntings may have originated from. That's the only problem. Yeah,
probably just the generic, it was a hospital used during World War One.
Yeah, and then with Slab Town, it's like, it's very a short mystery. And sweet, but it's also, like,
really
bang bang.
It's just dark. It's
yeah.
Weirdly dark.
For the five sentences we have on it, it's like, god dang, and then we couldn't find it. And
yeah. It's so weird. It makes you wonder how these things start.
Yeah. And like I said, our bartender did point us in one direction to one place that we're like, how did we miss this? Like, it's not that far from here.
Yeah. Because when we searched it, we actually got, there's a bit of information. So I'm not sure how it hasn't come across yet.
But it's, we definitely need to do some research on it because I don't know how safe it is to go there and if we should go there. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. But yeah, we didn't want to just throw that location away. Like, we're willing to make another drive just because for us Midwesterners.
What's a 2-hour drive?
Yeah, hour and a half, 2-hour drive is nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then you're like, you do realize you're spending 4 hours in the car and we're like,
yeah, and?
Yep, that's a.
That's when we discuss and eat snacks.
Yeah.
I do love
stopping at coffee at an all-male college.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because Crawfordsville is, weirdly, as small as Crawfordsville is, it has Wabash College, which is an all-male college. Mm-hmm. And we got coffee there. And it, because the coffee shop was what? 1832 coffee?
1862, I
think. It was younger than that, for sure.
I don't know. 1800s coffee shop.
Which they were chill. The coffee was all right. At least mine was.
Huh? Well, because when I looked it up, I said, you know, where's the nearest coffee shop? And it showed 1832 brew espresso.
That's, yeah.
And we saw the Starbucks and we're like, but we like local. We want something
can't
get at home.
Yeah.
And I saw 1832 and that it was on Wabash Avenue and we're like, that's probably on Wabash College. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it's in the library, but Who cares?
Yeah.
I was a little nervous walking. They're going to look at us and go, are you lost? No, but I walked and I said, are we allowed to order? And he goes, yeah. That was funny. But yeah, it was.
I just didn't know because all these slinging wee-wees around.
Wow.
It was. I felt as soon as we got out of the car, people were staring. And I get because they're like, why are you here? And I was like, I don't even know why we're here.
The testosterone was palpable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got our coffee. It was Dees. And yeah. Fun time, even though we didn't investigate a gosh darn thing. So there's literally nothing to rate. We just gave you some herstory. That's all we could do.
And I'm a little, and the herstory has a zero. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's based on...
Well, definitely on Slab Town. The hospital is a little different, I guess.
Yeah, when the locals at the bar can't tell you about... Like, that's where you hear about Large Marge.
Yeah.
Okay, and if they can't tell you about Slab Town, there is no Slab Town.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know
who Maybe I'll go this. On Google Earth sometime and look, but I don't know.
That's what I'm going to do for the place the guy gave us.
That's true.
I want to see how far are we hiking?
Yeah, it sounds like it's got to be a walk and also...
During the day.
I know. I don't... Do we have to get permission from somebody or is this just a cross your fingies, hope for the best?
Do we... Do you like call the town police or like city hall and
You're
say...
You're like, hey,
please don't get us for trespassing. Is it cool?
We'll find out the hard way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it is better to ask permission than forgiveness. Especially when it comes with like you're not in
legality.
Yeah, when you're dealing with legal situations. We never condone trespassing, you guys. We have made mistakes in the past. Please don't. That is the most stress. That is the scariest part of any investigation.
Is getting caught trespassing.
Mm-hmm. So, well, this episode was weird one to end on in this room.
Yeah. The last one felt more, there was a finality to it. Now it's just like, let's get this show on the road.
This one's all willy-nilly. And for God's sakes, you know I didn't pick a state.
That's fine. You know Here what? We go. That's okay.
States of America. United States alphabetical.
And you're just going to... Now, what if you forget one that we've already done?
Okay, I don't know.
We'll find out the hard way. Let's just... You want me to tell you when to stop?
I'm going to go slower this time.
Okay. You... Quit! Right there. I don't know why that was so aggressive.
Well, I have to go down because I know we covered Arkansas. So next week, we're going to be in the lustrous state of California.
Oh my gosh. I know we haven't done California.
I know too. Well, that's what... Because the list is so dang small, my finger's so dang big. I said, well, I'm on four states. I guess the middle of my finger's on Arkansas. I know we did that, so I just went down one. So,
okay.
Yay, California.
Interesting. Okay. Mm. So many options.
Right. Because we did Florida. So we got that really? Sunny state of it. Yeah, because we cover it was the cult.
Yes. Yes.
You don't know.
No,
you
don't I don't. Okay. I had a taxing day today, okay? I'm tired.
Oh my God. Yes, we will be. It's California. And I wanted to see where we were in Florida. I'll tell you. Corishon State Park.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I had the experience on that one.
That was the gorilla face in the window.
The gorilla nun?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Nun.
Oh, goodness sakes. All right. Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Maybe next time we will 100%. If we have to go this weekend and just be sitting on an episode for a month, I'll do it.
We'll see. We'll okay. find out. Yeah. I'm a busy woman, okay?
We have 1 month to get it together.
I will try my best. No promises.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay, bye. Thanks for listening.
Mixing, editing, and music is done by Kelsey Ingram. Our cover art is done by both of us.
Visit our website at orsotheysaypod.com. You can find links to our Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok all at orsotheysaypod.
If you would like to donate and have access to all of our evidence from our investigations, please visit patreon.com/orsotheysaypod.
You can donate as little as $1 to hear EVPs, watch haunting videos, and see photographic evidence we've gathered during our travels.
You can also give a once-off donation to our PayPal, which will be linked on our website as well. Merchandise can be found at redbubble.com/people/orsotheysaypod.
You can find Or So They Say on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you stream your favorite podcasts.
And when you do find us, please make sure to rate, review, follow, or subscribe. We and the algorithms will thank you for it.
See you next week.